This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Around this time, 14 years ago, 5-year-old Eric Evans got off his school bus in Wurunga on the last day of school before Christmas. The bus was early, so his mum wasn't there to collect him. He darted across the road, was hit by a four-wheel drive and died instantly. Brian Evans is Eric's dad and he joins us to share his story from all those years ago. Thanks, Brian.
Oh, good morning.
Is it still hard to talk about what happened all these years later?
Sometimes it can be. A lot of people would know I'm fairly obsessed about the whole thing on a lot of levels. So
yeah,
it's very hard to stop me.
Yeah.
Be careful. It's such a life-changing, massive thing to happen, and really we've tried to create some sense out of it afterwards. So really, I know things now that I wish had never learnt, but I do want to share them with people. And as you can tell, it's hard to stop me.
Yeah, that's an understandable reaction. Take us back to that time. When did you find out that this truly awful thing had happened?
It's funny, but I always think I'm a little bit lucky because I was waiting to give a tuba lesson to a neighbour, and their whole family of five kids and mum actually were the ones that told me they'd swung past the crash, which is what I call it. Most people call it an accident. And said I'd better get up the street because it was just at the end of our street. My wife was already there, as you said, and she was like 20 seconds away around the corner. The bus was about 8 or 9 minutes earlier than it normally was. It was the first time it had been on time all year. But basically, I was there within minutes, and so I didn't have to, certainly Debbie and my wife didn't have to suffer telling me about it or anything. I was right there, basically collapsing at the moment. So, yeah, I knew right away.
And what did you do?
After I punched the earth, I went over and just knelt by him and stroked him, and it was, I'm not going to tell you what I was looking at, but just in complete chaos in so many ways. Debbie was completely distraught. The chap who hit him was down the road on the phone, and it was just a completely impossible situation, and I was kneeling there thinking, oh, you know, Daddy can fix anything, but I couldn't. And just racing up the street, I knew it was terrible, and I'm screaming to myself and yelling and praying to God, make it a broken arm, make it this, make it that, but
yeah,
my heart had already sunk to rock bottom, and that's a terrible thing. But
and where was your 3-year-old daughter at this time? She didn't...
Yeah, 2.5. She was... the neighbour stayed with her. She was at home. She'd been watching TV, and I just said to her, Eric will be home soon for the whole holidays, because he used to get very upset when he'd come home from school. She was having a nap. They were very, very close. Very close.
Of course. So how did she cope with it then?
Well, she was so little. We were actually a little lucky that we got counselling on the Friday night. Some friends from the union organised that. And it was right in the middle of watching an incredible video on Today Tonight, which was running. We were just a mess. And she saw Mum and Dad just completely shattered. Fortunately, we had that help, and we didn't put everything on her and at the time. But no, she really did miss him, and she knew she lost him, but didn't know, you know, being young. So it's been hard. It's always been hard. And I just hope we haven't made it worse, but the memory of Eric is there, and she knows that it's a great loss for her, and she loves him, and you know, it's a terrible thing. And they were extremely close, so at the time, all of a sudden, bang, you know, the other half of her life basically it just disappeared. And I'm sure she wouldn't have fully realized. You don't know what death is at those days. He was her imaginary friend for a long time, sort of visible friend, and she's tough. She knows about it. And
Was it difficult for you and your wife to keep going, and did sort of in some ways having another child force you to get out of bed every day?
Yeah, all those, without being rude, all those sort of cliches, yeah. That's not meant to be rude. But as I said, there was no doubt that having Kirsten there was, for me, was the big driving force. That's why I say it was so good we had some counselling that stopped me from just laying everything on her. Not bad, but, you know, because we had to realise what she was going through. But for certain, I mean, yes, to go through something like that, you know, you do face the thoughts of suicide and all kinds of horrible things. And I mean, we had her, yes, to make us go on, surrounded by our friends and our dear friend, our neighbour now, from down the road, Terry Dean, who's Archdeacon of North Sydney, who was the local minister. He was there right on the... he was the first one there for us. And just learning where to get our strength from. People think we're incredibly strong. We probably are, but we didn't know how sick we were as well for years from all this. But as I said, I was saying to some friends last night on the internet, it was just friends and faith.
Well, I wanted to ask you about your faith. How did your faith sort of change? Obviously, it must have taken a bit of a hit.
Well, I think there's another level of shock to this, because just to find out how strong our faith is and was at the time. You know, I'm a really terrible, horrible sinner person in the absolute truest sense of the word. Don't want to get inside my head, really. But, no, I've got to say that, because that really does bring home to me how great a thing like Christian faith is, because he was there for us. He sent Terry. The kinds of things that we decided about the funeral, the kind of spiritual things that we went through together. First thing I did when I came back here was open the Bible and ended up in Revelations. And I think, and I'm not a great Bible reader. I mean, I've got to admit all these things, so everybody knows. But I firmly believe that you can just open anywhere and there's something there. He'll give you a message if you're open and wanting to hear it. And it was very helpful. And people gave me daily reading passage books that I could go, send me to the Bible. And it was all very, very strengthening, very supportive. Sometimes when I get into a situation like this, they'll say, well, what did you pray for? All I did was pray for grace to get through it and really put it in his hands, because I don't think, you know, I'm learning over the years, there's not a lot we can do except accept the help and be open to that help, you know, and not be crinkled up and anguished and, you know, I mean, I'm mad at him too, in a way, let me be honest,
Yeah, that's only natural. Did you ever meet the person who hit Eric, and how did that work out for you?
I shook his hand at the inquest. We don't really interact, but we do pass each other on the street all the time in our cars. You know, we still all live in the same houses, so...
Must have been very traumatic for them as well.
I'm sure it is, and I really feel for them in that way too. One of the things that's helped me get through too, in conjunction with all the other, is just to isolate that moment. And you look at the good things before and you look at the good things afterwards, and... And it's really, and create things, and we've been building things, and we've also been working on campaigns and stuff and try to create some miracle out of it.
Well, I wanted to ask you about good things to come out of it, because I know that you were responsible for campaigning for some better road safety around schools, and I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that.
We've helped with the around the schools thing, but this actually happened on a normal, quiet 50-kilometre-an-hour zone street, just, you know, a residential street. So we start from our area and look at how buses, the pedestrians around buses was our, school child pedestrians around the buses was the big issue, and they were losing about 2 a year up till then. And there were, I won't go too long-winded into it, but there were recommendations that were never put in place for 2 years since they were announced, which probably would have saved his life. And a lot of those have gone in now, not always to the highest level that we want them, because we do have an American connection here and we would love traffic to stop. So the 40 zones around buses were a direct impact of that, but I don't even know if they're being observed properly anymore, if they ever were. But fortunately, there's lights flashing, there's public awareness, there's opportunities like this to keep people aware of it. So that's the sort of thing that's really saved a lot of lives, and I've been to Parliament giving evidence to Stay Safe and so on about the whole business with 40 zones around schools. It's all part of the equation. People know about the schools now, so they see 40 on the buses, and it all interrelates. So,
All right. Well, Brian, we need to kind of wrap things up, but I guess I just wanted to ask you, you know, how you feel as the December 19 anniversary approaches, and how you kind of remember Eric at that time.
It's always a big day for us. We usually go out to the cemetery. We usually mix with our friends across the street who live right next to Eric Evans Park in Wurrunga. It's a very hard time. I try not to do any work that day. It's a Sunday this year, so it's a little more poignant, but except that he was killed on a Thursday. He was born on Maundy Thursday and he was killed right near Christmas, so it's a double whammy for us.
So it makes Christmas a really hard time for you.
It has its moments, you know, it has its moments. He was a gift to us. We had him for 5 3/4 years, which is a lot longer than a lot of people have their children. Mm. He was a wonderful person. I know exactly how he turned out. A lot of dads wonder how their son's going to turn out. He was a great person. His impact is going on. You know, he impacted people while he was alive. And, you know, I mean, I'll probably have a cry after this.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah. if I can sound positive, I try to sound as positive as I can. And we honour his memory and we love him.
Yeah, of course.
You know, for every second we had him and afterwards too.
Thanks, Brian. Well, yeah, it's good to remember that, all of that. So thank you for sharing your story.
Thanks so much for allowing me to.
Okay. It's Brian Evans. And, yeah, his 5-year-old son, Eric, was killed around this time more than 14 years ago. But thank you so much for sharing your story with us all, Brian.
My pleasure.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.